Mike Wilkerson from the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network here. Our 24podcast.com run has ended, but excitement continues at Two Guys Talking. Feature film reviews including Predator, Predators, the complete Toy Story series, Inception, and more continue to line the halls of our always growing archive. Make sure you check them out and tell us what you think. Additionally, it's contest season. It's time to have you, our audience, select the next great podcast to populate Two Guys Talking. This year's Two Guys Talking I Hear Your Podcast contest is sponsored by Acoustica's Mixcraft recording software, Ability Interpreting, and Blogger's Bug. Again, our thanks to all of these great sponsors, and we urge you to check out their websites. Find links to them all at twoguystalking.com/podcast contest. There you'll also find links to all of this year's samples that have been entered into the Two Guys Talking I Hear Your Podcast contest. Be sure to download all of the samples to listen to them and then download your favorite once more. You literally help us choose who gets featured in our next podcast season.
Two Guys Talking is an internet radio show providing you with entertainment, a sharing of viewpoints, and fun. Join us as they venture into the world of entertainment as we discuss a variety of topics, from television shows, DVDs, feature films, and more. This week, Two Guys Talking...
Toy Story 2, 1999. Toy Story, the original 1995 feature film, provided us with the initial adventure into the land of toys, Andy's room, and we met a delightful bunch of toys as they landed their first of three landmark jaunts into the silver screen. Two Guys Talking loved the landscape created, as did millions of people worldwide. Toy Story 2, the 1999 sequel to Toy Story, provides us with another visit to characters we love, the introduction to even more characters, and what turns out to be a real in-depth, twisted view of toy collecting and lost innocence? Is this a kids' movie? Did this one do better than the original Toy Story? It's time for the Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2 Perspective Review here on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Sponsored by Acoustica's Mixcraft 5 recording software and Ability Interpreting.
Greetings, everybody. I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
I'm Brad Hogemeller, your Uber guest host.
The still Uber guest
still
host.
Still Uber.
It's
maintaining
great to have
my
you again.
Uberness.
It's great to have you again. Thank
Good
you for joining me for the second review here.
Good to be here.
I welcome Brad once again into this Toy Story 2 review. He comes to us from, again, Rehab Care, a local St. Louis company.
Rehab Care? Yep. Local healthcare company. I do a lot of the online marketing strategy stuff for them.
Oh, an always outstanding friend and terribly skilled.
Terribly. I was kind of afraid what came after the terribly. Terribly stinky friend.
The other point of this whole movie is that when this movie came out, you were 17 years old.
I was a young buck.
I was 29 years old when this movie came out.
Oh, well, there you go.
Again, the perspectives, I love calling these perspective reviews. It's not because they're old movies. It's because of the different perspectives that we bring because of the hosts that are included.
Right.
I have a much different view of this movie than you will because, again, you were 17 back then.
I was 17. Yeah, it was much less socially acceptable for me to watch a cartoon at 17 years old.
At 17.
I think I was 13 at the first one.
Right.
Something there,
right,
12, 13, yeah. And 17 years old.
And then this was put on the hurry-up path to get done because, of course, the first one made just giant load of cash.
Oh, yeah. They like their money down there at Disney HQ, right?
They do. In fact, we're going to be talking a lot about how Disney took a completely different tack on this film as compared to the original Toy Story, which Disney really hated.
Yeah.
They had no use for it, thought it was franchise non grata.
Giant pile of steaming something? Not until they realize how much money it's going to bring in do they like it, right?
Again, the original Toy Story was one of those corn combines of cash. The difference is that it was 1999.
Right.
And they knew that it was something to get on, and so they got on it big here in Toy Story 2. A couple of quick housekeeping notes. Again, remember our Two Guys Talking I Hear Your Podcast contest continues for the next 2.5 weeks. We need you to get there, listen to all of the podcasts, listen to your favorite once more, and then tell your friends and family about the podcast contest so that they can do exactly the same thing. We have 5 great contestants, all of which you can find via the banners at twoguystalking.com. The second thing I want to remind everyone about is the giant cornucopia of perspective reviews that are now available at Two Guys Talking. We're going back and running through a bunch of really great classic films, but also some of the most recent silver screen feature films that you can listen to right now via twoguystalking.com. Again, that's the number two, guystalking.com. I also wanted to thank everybody that's provided us input, either via email or via the live chat, as we have here at Two Guys Talking TV tonight. There's currently four people sitting in channel watching us via cam.
Hey, everybody, four wave. People.
It's great to have you here. Remember, you can chime in live via the actual window there at Two Guys Talking TV. You can get there by going to twoguystalking.com/TV. And watch live. Even if we're not doing something live, the camera's usually on. So be sure to check that out. And without further ado, it's time to get to the Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2 Perspective Review here on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2.
Where were we when it came out? Usually we start these reviews, in particular the perspective reviews, with the hype. Trying to go back and remember what kind of hype was surrounding a film, especially a film like Toy Story 2. Well, I don't remember. I don't remember any hype for this movie, and it's just because I don't remember, as opposed to there wasn't any.
I don't either. Yeah. I was in high school. There's a lot of things I don't remember from high school. So I don't remember what the hype was on this.
Yeah, the cool part about this is that we know there was a ton of hype because, of course, of the giant load of cash that it made, and many people were calling it even better than the original.
Yeah, one of those rare films that does that.
Yeah, it made half again as much money as the original Toy Story.
Oh, wow.
So obviously a critical success.
Yeah.
And of course, we'll get into the numbers here in just a second, but I simply don't remember any of the hype surrounding this.
I mean, what else came out around this time? I don't remember.
99 was kind of the Black Death movie moment. I remember there was a couple of Star Trek films that were a void, yeah. In particular, I remember this is the year after I started as a professional web and graphic designer.
Oh, really?
So I remember being spectacularly busy doing a bunch of different things, and I don't remember when this came out. I remember seeing it in the theater, but I don't remember when it came out.
I was probably working at Target.
So you could actually see some of the toys and all the other crap that was coming out for this then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Something we're going to hit pretty hard inside this film is that, obviously, of the movies that have been put out, this one was the baptism of marketing and doodads.
Yeah, this is when they figured out how to make the money post-production.
Yeah.
Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2.
The money! All right, so we've already looked at how much money this has made.
A boatload.
Just a ton of
boatloads.
Domestically, this pulled in $246 million. That's just domestically.
That's a lot of chump change.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
via the foreign market, it's $239 million. For a collective total, $485 million to date.
Almost $500 million.
Just a ton of cash. A literal corn combine of cash that is a very smooth and regularly occurring feature inside of all of our podcasts. It just made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make more.
Well, and it's one of those, I mean, being CG and all digital made, it's one of those movies that will stand the test of time and look as pretty in 10 years as it did now.
That is amazing. And that's really something that we haven't really taken to heart, especially just as, I think it's maybe the last 2, maybe 3 years. I remember 3 years ago that digital screens were finally coming of age inside of theaters.
Right.
But they've been building movies like this for a long time that were digital that are always going to look exactly the same way as they did the first time.
Exactly. Wasn't this one of the first movies that was shown all digital? Or that you had the option of seeing it all digital?
I'm not sure.
It was right around that time. Yeah. I don't know if it...
Being 11 years ago now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was or not. That it's going to not only be out as a DVD for all of us that have already bought the DVD of this film,
right,
but that it's also now coming out on Blu-ray, along with whatever super-duper anniversary editions are coming that we'll also talk about later on.
Sure.
This is just going to be a film that stands the test of time and always looks as good as the first day it came out.
Yeah, and you're not going to have, like, the film degradation stuff where you... like the other Disney movies where they have to go back and do these fancy anniversary
remastering.
Editions. Yeah, they need to remaster frame by frame and recolor and touch. You won't have to do that with this.
Now, what's really funny, too, I wonder if they're going to have a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff that they can then chalk in as features.
Oh, sure.
And I'm a total whore for that. I have to terribly admit that I will buy every edition of every single movie as long as it's got more great features than
I haven't
seen
before. You're the guy. The reason they do that. That's good.
Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2.
The good. Our original Toy Story review had tons and tons of goods. Check out the goods inside of Toy Story 2. The trailers. This was a really interesting note that you found while surfing Wikipedia doing research for this one.
Yeah. Apparently, Pixar is known for this, and I never really noticed this before.
I hadn't either.
And I'm always a fan of when companies do this. The footage that they put out in the trailer is not necessarily what you see in the movie frame for frame. Yeah. You know, they put these little throwaway things that don't actually appear in the movie.
Yeah.
In the trailer, so it doesn't always kind of give the bag away and show you everything that's going to happen.
It's funny you mention that because I remember that there was a piece from the most recent Predators movie inside of a trailer, which, by the way, we just tonight have put it on the network that you can go and listen to, the Predators review.
Sure.
Inside of there, you have Adrian Brody, and he's standing there, and I remember there was a scene
with
where there's
the eyes,
one.
Or the lasers.
Yeah, there's one with the three, but then there's another one that I've seen. Where it's like his entire upper torso is covered.
Sure.
And you never see that inside the movie because, of course, there's only three or four Predators tops.
Right.
That are floating around. Oh, you haven't seen the movie. That's right. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. You ruined the whole thing, so that's cool, too.
I've just saved you money. Now you can buy more Toy Story crap, right?
Right. Well, Iron Man 2 did the same thing.
They did.
Remember at the start when he's in the plane, he jumps out, says, "You complete me." You don't even see
his
kissing
face. You don't see any of it
until he lands.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. I like that. The problem is that I wish that they would also excise 90% of everything inside of trailers, so that I don't see any of the money shots ever.
I would agree, especially like things like comedies. You know, when you see
destruction.
You see 3 out of 4 of the belly laughs of the movie. Then why pay the $10?
Yeah, the American Pie films were, I think, a hallmark of things like that. All of the Julia Roberts films are very much like that.
Oh, any romantic comedy.
Those are all just doom.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's why I don't like to watch them, is because I've seen all the big gags.
Well, there's other reasons I hate romantic comedies, but yeah, that's one of them.
Enduring them. Yes. That would be up there on the top of the list.
Sitting there for 2 hours watching them.
The short films at the front of the Toy Story movies. We had discovered that this was the first one that had a short movie in front of it?
I think so. I don't remember any of the other ones having a short movie in front of it.
I do.
So before, you do?
Yeah.
So we had what? Toy Story, A Bug's Life, and was there something else in there? Was this?
Toy Story, Bug's Life, Toy Story 2.
Okay. And then you have Monsters, Inc. and all these things after.
Yeah.
So this is a third.
Finding Nemo. Yeah. This is the third one.
I don't remember another one.
I don't either, but I have that Pixar animation.
You have
short
the short film DVD, whatever
DVD that's
thing?
That's made to just show those. And yeah. I don't. They don't tell you when they came. They don't match
them up with the movies. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this one was Luxo Jr.
Okay.
Which was
it was on the front end of this one. Okay.
We do know it was the first short they made. They made it in 1986.
Right.
And this is the one that had the little lamp. With the arm.
Yeah, that's become the Pixar hallmark.
Yeah,
right.
With the little ball that comes out and stomps on the eye and all the Pixar intros.
You know, that might be a really great call to the audience. We'd like to hear from you. Do you remember a short film in front of the original Toy Story? Or do you remember this film, the
Junior, I believe it
Luxo
was?
Luxo Junior in front of the second film. Let us know if you remember those things. And if you remember the names of them, be sure you let us know at twoguystalking.com. Click on the contact button at the top right-hand side of the page. Fill out the quick web form and let us know if there were something that we missed in front of the movies.
Just an open call to tell us we're wrong.
The puzzle pieces. Now, I always get the twisty eyebrow raising from Brad when I say things like the puzzle pieces inside of the Toy Story 2 review. In fact, while we were making the outline for this, that's exactly what I got.
This is where I said, follow with elaborate.
Yeah, the puzzle pieces, and he goes, "The puzzle pieces, what do you mean?"
Define puzzle pieces.
Define puzzle pieces. And the way I see this movie, and in fact the third film, all of them bridge together with a series of puzzle pieces. In the first film, we have essentially Woody and Buzz as the main pieces that carry over into the second one. This one provides us with what I think is one of the biggest overarching puzzle pieces, the Little Green Men. Little Green Men are mainly introduced into the cast inside of this film.
Sure.
And of course, for those that have seen Toy Story 3, the Little Green Men figure in very heavily into the, in particular, end of the third film.
Yeah. And well, so, and really the whole thing. And frankly, if you haven't seen the third movie yet, hit pause, go see it, and then come back.
And when I look at the pieces like that, as I call them, I see lots and lots of drape, lots of carry through from all the first film through to the third film in many of the characters.
Yeah.
Whether it's your favorite Don Rickles, Mr. Potato Head, or the character of the Potato Heads after there were now two of them put together.
Sure.
That's a big deal, especially again in that third film.
And there is. There's deeper exploration, but there's a lot of, like thematically, there's a lot of carryover from the first film to this one and then into the third. A lot of the same things that they're exploring, just a little bit deeper, a little bit different twist.
Yeah.
I'll follow you there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad that platitude is not cleared up. And we'd like to hear from you. What puzzle pieces do you find in between this first and second offering for Toy Story? Remember to go to our website at twoguystalking.com. Click that contact button up on the top right-hand side of the page. Fill out the quick web form. Let us know what you think are puzzle pieces inside of either the first Toy Story or this offering, Toy Story 2 from Pixar. The sequel that's better than the original? Now, I know when everybody talks about sequels, I'm trying to imagine a franchise where each sequel has escalated in quality. Brad, anything comes to mind?
That got better? Wow. Yeah, that got better. They always get worse. They never get better, right?
Yeah,
you have the first one that, yeah, I mean, really.
There are many that have different flavors. Well, I'll tell you what. There is one that I know is probably conceptually
Dark Knight. I'll go Dark Knight.
Dark Knight is a good one, but here's an even better one. Lord of the Rings films. Because the movies that get played, you see people play the first one, and then they play the third one.
Yeah.
They always forget about that second one. So that one's going to be in that wheelhouse of it gets better as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, those movies are just too long to be considered as one story, but I do consider them one story.
Well,
it's just a matter of fact that it's...
huge day-long story.
That you get to sit and get butt blisters on watching. Yeah.
Kiss sunshine goodbye story.
Those are something we'd love to review here, too. I have to find the people that want to marathon review those, because those are ones we would go into mega depth on.
Yeah.
That's approaching Terminator and Raiders of the Lost Ark quality there. We'd need to go into that detail to get all the great stuff in those films. Looking back at this entry, I thought this was better than the original Toy Story. I really do believe that. And I'm almost certain we're gonna find that as we get along inside this review.
Yeah, I would agree. There certainly was more, because I mean the first one, like a lot of stories, you're just kind of establishing who the characters are and establishing some backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Who are these
mm-hmm.
people? How do these people interact with each other? What do they care about?
Right. Right.
With that out of the way, they got to explore a little more of the a little more of what matters to the movie, you know, how these people interact with each other and what kind of struggles do they go through.
Yeah.
I think it a little more depth than the first one. Altogether, I think it was a better quality movie. Certainly, like, the technical aspects of it, the animation, the CG, that stuff ramped up a notch from the first one.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the glorious things about the third film as well. Is you can...
A big jump there.
All of the films benefit from being in the same family,
mm-hmm.
quality-wise, technologically, but you can clearly see that there are, in particular in that third one, that there are just evolutionary steps that occur.
Sure.
As each of the movies comes back.
Sure.
I think that may be even another benefit that we mentioned briefly inside the first film, the tech. But it's something that we didn't really put in the good list here that really should be recognized.
Yeah.
That first sequence with Buzz and the video game.
And the video game, probably not possible from the first movie.
I would love to talk to one of the tech people that could answer that question for us.
Yeah.
And eventually this review will get to somebody that maybe knows them or knows a friend of so-and-so.
Well, I did
and
hear,
I'd love to hear from
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and maybe people can confirm this. I did hear that him flying through the canyons, mm-hmm. the canyons were actually part of the Ant Island from the Bug's Life movie.
Interesting.
But, you know, recreated, recolored.
Yeah.
But they recycled a lot of the CG stuff from that.
So. I don't have a problem with that. I love hearing those stories.
Yeah.
When we mentioned this again in the first one, I love all that behind the doors tech stuff that helps to save money or whatever. I love all of that.
Right.
Those are always a ton of fun to hear about. And so we ask you, the audience, did you think that Toy Story 2 was a better film than the original Toy Story? Make sure you, again, access our website at twoguystalking.com. click on the contact button on the top right-hand side and let us know. Was this film, Toy Story 2, 1999, better than the original Toy Story of 1995? The characters. Once again, John Lasseter brings across, an always expanding cast of characters inside of Toy Story 2, beginning with the always and beloved Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and then peppering it again through with not only the original cast members of Don Rickles, Jim Varney, etc., but adding in brilliant portrayals by Joan Cusack as Jessie the Yodeling Cowgirl,
that's right,
Kelsey Grammer as Stinky Pete the Prospector, and the always silent but entertaining Bullseye, the horse.
Yeah, Bullseye. Who voiced Bullseye?
No voice.
Yeah, is it John Lasseter?
Whoever had the great, or not the best Winnie, but the...
Mr. Ed. Voiced by Mr. Ed.
That's got to be it. Again, you add on Don Rickles as Mr. Potato Head, Jim Varney as Slinky Dog, mm-hmm. Rex from Wallace Shawn, who most people probably don't remember him, but he was actually...
From the Princess Bride.
He was from the Princess Bride, but also the Nagus from Deep Space Nine, the ruler in charge of the Ferengi people. Big giant lobes, but that voice is unmistakable. It's exactly the same inside of every single portrayal.
Yeah.
It's that kind of whiny, I wonder what's going on.
Him from the Princess Bride. That's his token mug. It's inconceivable. That line.
Yeah. Yeah, all of that. And that's why, again, if you haven't seen him as the Nagus inside of Deep Space Nine,
mm-hmm.
Deep Space Nine is probably my favorite Star Trek franchise.
Oh, really?
Because of the story arcs and the characters and the building, literally, of what you get to see inside of all of those stories.
Really?
Make sure you check that out. If you haven't seen Wallace Shawn inside of that, it's just outstanding stuff. John Ratzenberger, again, makes his $40 appearance here, along
that's
with some
right.
beer.
That's right.
Wayne Knight is a new character inside of this one.
Wayne Knight.
He appears as Al the Toy Collector.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Or otherwise known as Newman.
Newman. Which I was not a follower, so I did not know that.
You've never seen it? Oh, okay.
No, I did not know that. I now know that he is Newman. He's
a funny fella.
Yeah. Oh,
and he was also in, what was it, Jurassic Park. He was the little guy that was running
away with
the thing.
Yeah, he was the fat dude that left everybody to steal the eggs and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that's him. That's exactly him. But just a stellar cast that brought all of the people that we knew, along with all of these new characters that formed this new faction of enjoyment for Toy Story 2. The heart-wrenching Sarah McLachlan tune. Now, I have to admit, this is what I think about every single time I think about Toy Story in general. This and now the ending scene in the third film
movie.
Fill my nasal passages every single time I think of this movie.
This is your token.
I can feel my sinuses welling up already.
Oh, man.
This is the moment that I lose all control and become Bubble Man flesh. Every single time I see this film, I know it's coming.
Just a big pile of pudding right there. You're just
giant
a big
pudding.
Wet mop.
Every time you see Jesse start to become depressed, this is the moment that I grab the tissues and look at my daughter and go, isn't that a delicious movie? But it's so good. Sarah McLachlan is the voice of an angel. The lyrics inside the song are just tantalizing, but the visuals inside of that entire scene,
right,
they rival any cancer-ridden picture that jumps in there and grabs your heartstrings and just pulls you along and wants you to go in there and grab her and give her the little doll hug. It's just awesome.
It really worked. Yeah. You know, they put the whole scene together. The song, the imagery. It didn't go black and white at one point or sepia. I mean, it was very light on the colors, very emotional. They wanted to elicit that response.
Very sunlight. Very sunlight, where they mm-hmm. wanted you to understand there was lots and lots of fun.
Right.
And then they kind of went to that black and white sepia tone as she's shoveled underneath the bed.
Right.
And the thing that always gets me, I know it's because I have a daughter, because I have a daughter, I see the little girl that had the toy now growing into a young woman.
Yeah.
And I, again, just
Right. Well, and it really
destroys me.
It encompasses everything that this whole series of movies is about into a minute and a half montage. Yeah. So, yeah, I would agree with you there.
Just stellar stuff. And we'll actually be mentioning that later on inside this review. But again, to speak to the soundtracks of both this film, the first film and the third film, if you haven't gotten the Toy Story soundtracks, you need to make sure to get them, because this song, along with a bunch of other great Randy Newman stuff, is something to make sure is inside of your musical collection. Remember to buy all of those soundtracks via the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network website, because then we get a little kickback.
Oh.
And all of our reviews, regardless of whether it's Toy Story or another, always include links to the soundtracks so that you will go and buy the soundtracks that you hear featured here inside of the Two Guys Talking Podcast.
There you go. Bye, bye, bye.
The Collector's Clutch. Now I see you're raising eyebrow. What the hell does that mean, Mike? All right. Clearly, you're not a toy collector, correct? Am I right?
No.
Am
I right? Yeah, collector would be a strong leap. I don't think you could call me a collector.
Okay.
Really. You know, I've been a DVD collector in my day.
Okay.
But well, I think we all were to some extent.
That's getting there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, I am an ex-hardcore comic book collector.
Recovering collector?
Oh, my.
You've got the bug.
Oh, yeah. And the only reason I don't go into Toys R Us stores now is because I don't have enough time. But I can remember living at Toys R Us. In fact, I probably even ran past you in 1999 to go and look for Star Trek toys.
Were you that guy walking in Target looking for the random Boba Fett, whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Boomaju guy that we didn't have?
Yes.
Great.
That was me. Anything I could find on the internet that was available. It's when eBay was getting uber hot back then. I was that guy. The difference is that while I was that guy, I was the pseudo-Al Toy Barn guy. I didn't own my own toy store, sadly.
You were the balding, evil toy store owner?
Yeah.
Affinity
the difference
for Cheetos.
Is that I had scruples.
Ah.
And I would not have screwed over the people to steal something.
Stealing is a... That made him bad. I hate that they make the toy guy bad, you know?
Yeah. Well,
we'll get into that.
We will get into that for sure. But everything that they emulate here, you see all of the... You see a lot of the negative, but you also see a lot of the positives.
Well, it's a peek inside their world.
Just
a pure euphoria that this guy had when he sees Woody laying there in a pile. Oh, has he got the original hand-stitched hat?
Yeah, all of that is great. And then the care that he takes on, even as he realizes that Woody is broken, can be fixed, a little bit of paint, blah, blah, blah. He mentions the hat.
Right.
But just that he understands the value of toys by noticing this one great toy that's inside of this pile of stuff.
He sees the value in it.
I totally felt all of that. The other piece of all of this that you see is when he's on the phone talking to the people that he knows is going to buy this collection of stuff.
Right.
And literally seeing the dollar signs appear inside of his eyes, there were several moments where I had that. Where I'm walking into a Target.
Yeah.
And I see three or four of the action figures
that if you buy those,
you can sell those on eBay for about 30 or 40% profit. And that's exactly what's inside of this movie. So they really captured the literal collector's clutch inside of this movie.
Is that a scientific term, the collector's clutch?
It's not, but I've just pioneered it, and now I'll see how much percentile I can get for that.
Yeah, you can license that out.
The repaint. This is touching a little bit on collector's stuff. The repaint sequence inside of this film...
When they
thought it was extraordinary. Not only did they roll in somebody from one of the previous short films, the guy that plays chess is actually featured inside of...
And this was news to me. I did not know this. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the guy that's playing two-sided chess.
The old toy cleaner guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Has been in a short before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
And this sequence is extraordinary. Whether it's the detail on the actual cleaner himself, or just the way that Woody is showcased inside of this sequence, it's just brilliantly done. Mm-hmm. There are many dramatic, cinematic moments that don't have the same magical touch as this.
Sure.
And you got to remember, this is made inside of a computer.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things you mentioned inside of the first Toy Story film was that marvel to realize that somebody concepted all of this and then told some programmers to go.
Yeah, and just design, have fun. It's a marriage of the technical and the artistic talent.
And again, all of these movies just totally get me with that.
Right.
Inspires me, illuminates me to be creative. And that's why I love doing these reviews about these movies.
Yeah, and it's so interesting to watch really, I mean, it's just art. You just watch art, digital art like that happen.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, me and my background doing online work and you yourself too. I mean,
yeah.
it's so nice and refreshing and inspiring to sit in my chair and watch that happen. Because so many times, you know, in the real world, we deal with technical people and creative people and trying to mash them together to make something marvelous.
Yeah.
Seeing, you know, seeing something like that come to fruition is just really a cool thing.
Who is the real villain here? Is it Toy Collector Al? Is it Stinky Pete the Prospector? Or how about Zurg? Who is the villain inside of this film?
I hate to say it, but I think they want to make it the Toy Collector. But he shouldn't be the villain. I guess, I mean, in the third act, it becomes Stinky Pete. Spoiler alert, right?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, oops. If you haven't seen this old movie.
Stinky Pete, of course, would be the hero.
Right.
Right. I think that was the evil nod to everybody.
Yeah.
That we don't actually, he's just the prospector to Jesse, and we don't actually find out that he's named Stinky Pete unless you read the box.
Stinky Pete. Such a great name. It's such a great villain name, too. Stinky Pete.
Stinky Pete.
It's got to be up there on the list.
Is that the action figure anybody would buy? We were talking about this.
Well,
this
goes back to your collector thing, right?
Yeah.
He's the epitome of the unwanted toy. He's the toy nobody wants to buy. Oh, he's mint in the box because nobody wanted to open him.
He is the one where there's 30 left of.
Yeah.
And eventually, even during the clearance aisle stuff, there would be 5 and 6 of this guy stacked high.
Right.
Because nobody wants to buy him.
With the orange $2.99 tag marked down.
Yeah, right. So who is the real villain?
I got to call it Stinky Pete. Because, I mean, the toy collector, really the only... If you take out that, quote-unquote, these toys are human, if you take that out of the equation, and it's just, this is real life, this is a toy collector looking to make a profit off of some toys.
Mm-hmm.
He does the one bad thing, and that's steal Woody. Which, okay, that's a bad thing. You're stealing some little kid's toy. But outside of that, he does...
And breaking into the cash box.
Yeah, and did he break into the cash box? He didn't steal money, did he?
No, they don't show him taking a lot of cash and shoving it into his pocket, He broke into the cash box.
Okay, I would totally change my answer if he stole the money.
You'll note that they don't show how he broke in. They actually switch to a back portion through the binoculars that the toys are watching through while
nice.
That portion happens.
Nice. So he's a good toy collector with a lockpick, so that makes me feel much better about what I'm saying. I'm going to stick to my guns and say that the only bad thing he did was steal Woody. Is steal some little boy's favorite toy. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody does that, right? So he's not the villain. But outside of that, he takes these toys back. He takes good care of them. He gets them repainted. Yep. Now, Stinky Pete, he does something equally as bad. He tries to keep Woody from going back to his family and his friends. And Stinky Pete knows that these toys have hearts and souls. And they're like, you know, little real people. So I got to put it on Stinky Pete for the bad guy.
Fair. What about Zurg? Is Zurg just, he's an evil character anyway, so...
Oh, he's just a scorned father looking for his son.
He's good
just
point.
Wanting
I forgot
to
about
find
that.
His son.
And have a game of catch.
That's right. He's playing football at the
Go
end.
Go long, son.
That's right. He's Darth Vader, right? Do you call Darth Vader the bad guy?
No. In fact,
hitting you on your home territory here.
Meeting Al from Al's Toy Barn. Now, we just got done talking about who is actually the real villain here, but we got into something way more in-depth and incredibly valuable.
That's right.
If you own this gargantuan toy store in the middle of a downtown metropolitan city...
And live in this top-level high-rise apartment
condominium,
building,
Profits
are up, right?
Oh, yeah. Would you actually put on the chicken suit?
I think you can hire someone to get in the chicken suit.
You made that observation, and I didn't think twice about it.
I think you can. I don't think you need to be out there in the chicken suit, sweating and having feathers fall off, clucking for the camera, right?
I thought that was extraordinary.
I think they have very well-paid other people that can do that.
We got into a discussion of Buffalo Bob and Howdy Doody and how a guy that can be in his late 30s can then spend the rest of his life in a pseudo cowboy outfit, a light blue cowboy outfit. And it's very much the same thing. We also mentioned inside of St. Louis here, there's a series of debauchery-ridden stores where you can buy cigarettes and booze.
Dirty chicken, or what is it?
Dirt cheap? Dirt cheap. Dirt cheap beer, cigarettes, and liquor, I think.
How's that for Americana?
And inside of that, they have this little dude in a chicken suit.
It's
I think
a chicken
it's a chick,
suit.
Probably. It's a walking chicken suit, and the whole thing is cheap, cheap, fun, fun. And standing next to the cute little...
How'd you like to wake up and hear that in the middle of the night?
Standing next to the little person in a chicken outfit who's supposed to be saying this is this guy who is older. He's older than stone.
Oh, he's the guy you picture behind, you know, R.J. Morris or somewhere. Smoking cigarettes, denying that
he's the guy that actually signed R.J. Morris's birth certificate.
I think he is R.J. Morris.
He very well could be. Anyway, this cute little chicken character is the Valkyrie of, right. of beer, cigarettes, liquor, and debauchery inside of St. Louis.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to imagine that old dude wearing the chicken suit, and he gets it. He pays somebody to be in the chicken suit.
That's right. And if you own, if you are Al of Al's Toy Barn, you can hire Bob to be Bob Chicken Suit at Al's Toy Barn.
How many of you are a piece of an historic empire? All right, so one of my... other favorite pieces of this movie is where Woody realizes and sees that he's not just somebody's toy that's got the owner's name written on the bottom of his boot. He is an icon. He is, to go back to what you just said, a piece of Americana.
Yep. He's a piece of culture. He's a piece of history.
The lexicon of people for many, many years previous.
Right.
And I love the montage that's inside of this.
It's an interesting
thing, too. The pseudo-sepia tone.
Yeah.
The running through the entire span of different kinds of toys and lunch boxes and stuff. All of that is just wonderfully done.
It would be like a, you know, a composer or an artist long dead coming back to life now and seeing all the respect and all the popularity that they now have.
The legacy
that they left behind.
Not only finally realizing and understanding a legacy, but seeing it.
Right, just seeing it totally in action.
Just amazing. The other little portion I love in this is where they start showing the previous episodes, the video episodes of Woody's Roundup.
Oh, right, right.
Just magical stuff where you go, wait a second, not only is the frame around the television created inside a computer, but the television show inside
the show itself.
The television is made inside of a computer.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a trip right there.
That's awesome.
That'll make you dizzy.
Oh, it's just, it's crazy how big the quality is inside of this film. And that's again why I go, this, I think, eclipsed the original film because of detail like that. I just marvel at stuff like that.
About probably what David Hasselhoff got when he realized how huge he is in Germany, right?
Yeah, right.
They love me over there.
Talk,
they
David.
Have posters.
Oh, yeah. Stinky Pete gets his with the new artist owner. This was wonderful. You finally get to the end of this film, and at the end after the airport series, the little bag comes down. And Stinky Pete's been put into the bag with a Barbie, and the Barbie turns her head and says, "You'll love so-and-so. She's an artist." And she turns her head 180 degrees, and on there is like all this facial tattoo.
Jekyll and Hyde.
Glitter and all kinds of stuff on it. And you just, the look on Stinky Pete's face is just priceless. Wonderfully done.
Horrible.
Let's take a break here during the Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2 Perspective Review here on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Hi guys, Scott Fitzpatrick here, one half of the dynamic duo from the Light the Lamp podcast. Don't miss our great interview with Randy Hahn, voice of the San Jose Sharks. Randy was nice enough to share some great background and stories on and about himself, as well as discuss one of the most dominating teams in the National Hockey League, the San Jose Sharks. This interview will give you some great hockey perspective, as well as an insight to the world of sports broadcasting. So check us out at lightthelamppodcast.com. And don't forget to check out my personal thoughts on the Blogger's Bug website with 2 minutes of hockey hate. It's just another piece of the Light the Lamp podcast, regularly featured on the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Are you a blogger? Always wanted to be one? Are you a business that wants to add a blog to their website? Are you an existing blogger who's looking for more traffic? Then check out bloggersbug.com for the perfect solution to your blog creation needs. Access bloggersbug.com now and get bit by the blogger's bug. How? Check out bloggersbug.com for the perfect solution to your blog creation needs. Get bit by the blogger's bug. bloggersbug.com. Get bit by the blogger's bug.
Sound. It brings us thoughts, memories, and feelings that are often hard to describe. Thankfully, it's never been easier to describe the quality of the products we use to make the Two Guys Talking podcast shows. Heil Sound has supplied us with some outstanding deals that allow us to bring you some of the best quality podcasts that we just simply couldn't provide without the quality items Heil Sound provides for us. Be sure to stop and visit the Heil Sound website at heilsound.com, HEILSOUND.com, for your recording needs. Whether it's the outstanding performance of their new Finn microphones or the stability of their PR2 microphone booms, one thing is sure. You'll also be able to give a clear, concise description of what you get from using Heil Sound products. Satisfaction. Tell them that the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network sent you.
Hi, this is Sandy Halley, voiceover artist from The Voice Farm. And you're listening to the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Paul Spataro. Be sure to tune in to the Two Guys Talking review of Star Trek here on the Two Guys Talking Network.
Ability Interpreting was created to connect people who are deaf and hard of hearing. For excellence in sign language interpreting, you can count on Ability. www.interpreterstation.com.
Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Clothing and fight gear on a mission. Fight Ribbon is the original MMA clothing company built from the ground up for fighters and fans.
Clothing with a purpose.
The new face of cancer awareness, Fight Ribbon Clothing Company. Because what you wear matters. Visit FightRibbon.com.
Is your PC running slowly? Are you plagued with viruses, spyware, or software crashes? You may think the answer is to bring your PC in for service or buy an expensive virus protection suite that claims to keep your system clean for a yearly fee. But the real solution is to abandon the source of your problems, Microsoft Windows.
It's time to switch to Nexradix, the Linux-powered solution to all your computing needs. Find out more at Nexradix.com. That's NexRadix.com.
The Two Guys Talking.
Incredible Hulk review.
Hollywood has become a giant hotbed for comic book movies. Two Guys Talking is proud to feature a ton of great comic book character movies, including The Incredible Hulk, starring Ed Norton, Liv Tyler, Tim Roth, and William Hurt. Be sure you check it out. Check them all out at twoguystalking.com. That's the number two, guystalking.com.
Two Guys Talking Smash!
Don't miss the Two Guys Talking feature film review of Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen.
Vulgar humor. Robot balls. The thong view. Minority bots. can we get a collective of everybody to say, we hate all of this? There's no need for any of it.
When Mike and I walked out of the theater, the two of us are like, okay, if we just cut the vulgar, the humor out of the movie, we would have enjoyed the movie 10 times more than we did. We would actually want to make a cut of the movie without the humor and see how much we'd actually like this movie.
Yeah, and when we mention that to our fan base, we get stellar input about how they would love for us to do that. The difference is that we'd go to jail.
But I think anybody who's going to own the Blu-ray is probably going to skip ahead when they get to those scenes that they saw in the theater and say, you know, I just don't need this. This should have been on the cutting room floor anyway. And they're going to see the movie that we're talking about right now.
Don't miss the Two Guys Talking feature film review of Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Only at the Two Guys Talking Podcast Network.
Everyone, welcome back to the Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2 Perspective Review, here with Brad Helgen Miller.
Hey!
Hey, what's going on?
Hey!
Just as every film has goods, there's also the bad. The bad. The opening sequence. Now, Everyone's going to laugh and say we're hypocrites, but we just got done marveling about the opening sequence and how cool and technologically ridden it was. However,
there's bad, too.
There's definitely bad to that, because I thought that that was going to be the jaunt into the marketing blitz of, and now you get to buy the Buzz Lightyear video game.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get further along, and you get to buy the Buzz Lightyear Nintendo controller.
Cha-ching.
And you can buy the blah, 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 blah.
Yep. That's when the marketing dollars start rolling in, right? That's the shark that we're going to jump over, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I really did think that as we were going into the beginning of the movie. And I'm so happy that this movie was stacked in the middle so hard, because it totally got that out of my mind as I'm halfway through, of course, blubbering during the Sarah McLachlan tune.
And it ended up, I mean, it's nice that they didn't delve into that territory anymore. And it ended up being kind of a throwaway scene in the grand prospectus of the movie.
Yeah.
Really glad
that we actually read a review that we're going to reference a couple of times here too, where they actually thought that that initial scene was kind of immaterial, and I totally disagree.
Yeah,
I think it's an excellent initial segue for Zurg to pop back up.
Right. It threw a little connective tissue in there for Buzz.
Yeah, connective tissue is very well said.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I do. I like the line.
It's a good word.
Very good. Well done. So you've got connective tissue. When I've got the collector's clutch.
Well, there you go. See, there we both go. Get copyright.
Marketing at its best, huh?
Right. I'll expect a nickel anytime you use that. That's right.
I have a feeling a lot of doctors will be giving you lots of cash.
Oh, well, good. I'll take their cash.
Doctors have the cash.
They've got it to give, right?
So, is it jerking us around? Now, all of you probably had a good laugh during my showcase of blubbering man flesh, heart-wrenching Sarah McLachlan lameness in the beginning good portion of this review.
That's right.
But the question becomes, is Toy Story 2 jerking you around with elements like that? Is it literally taking the connective tissues, cha-ching, of what is making up this movie and the feelings that you have for the toys and everything else, and just kind of... Brad?
Yeah, are they beating you up with that stuff? Are they milking it too much? I mean, it's...
I think if I were to ask my father, he'd probably admit that. My father has not seen any of these films. None of them. And I have a feeling that he probably, especially from that particular Sarah McLachlan moment, would just be feeling like he's being jerked around and turn the thing off.
Yeah. They don't give you much of a choice.
No.
Than to follow them along in their story.
It's definitely a roller coaster.
You know, it is. It is. And part of it is that it's a children's movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But you are force-fed some of this stuff with the Sarah McLachlan bit and the fact that they're toys, you know? Kind of like we said in the first review.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they are using your childhood toys against you to convey the message that they want to convey.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is kind of cheating you if you think about it that way.
I totally understand that perspective. I don't share it, however.
Yeah.
And that's where we ask you, the audience, what do you think? Are movies like Toy Story and all of these new animated films that are coming out in particular using 3D technology now, are they just jerking you around? Are they just kind of shoving you in a box for an hour and something minutes and shaking the box and then letting you walk out? Let us know what you think by accessing our website at twoguystalking.com. Click the contact button on the top right-hand side of the page. Fill out the quick web form and let us know if you are the victim of being jerked around inside of any of the Toy Story films. Villainizing the toy collector. Now, I just want to make it clear that Brad was the one that added this little particular note on, as opposed to me.
I feel bad for the guy. I feel, you know, the other thing too. I feel bad for Wayne Knight. I mean, he plays the
he plays the
fat evil guy in Seinfeld. He plays the fat evil guy in Jurassic Park. Animated film, they still make him a fat guy.
Yeah,
isn't that horrible?
Well said. Can you imagine him being the thin guy with the bucket of Cheetos on his chest, though?
I'd like to see him be the thin guy with the bucket of Cheetos, though. Give the guy a fighting chance.
By the way, the Cheetos, how do we miss that in the positives?
Oh.
Let's see another animated movie make a giant bucket of Cheetos.
Make it an obstacle course?
Spilled on the floor that's an obstacle course like in a video game.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right.
Did this film villainize the toy collector?
Well, I mean, it's if you're not the kid.
The answer is yes.
If you're not
He's in the big, tall, evil castle.
Yeah.
He is the rich who must have more.
Right.
I must have more.
Yeah, I'm only worried about my money.
Right, and I have to be sweaty and fat, and look at me, I'm the fat toy collector greedy bastard.
Just that horrible comb over that he had, yeah. The little three-hair comb over thing.
that he, I think he kind of has in real life now, actually. Yeah. So
it's just, it's sad for people that like toys that the only adult that likes toys is a bad one.
Yeah. The repainting job. Was it all that good? Now, we talked about how brilliant that entire scene where Woody is being remade into mm-hmm. the original stylist-looking Woody.
Got a who brand will now, new coat of paint.
Awesome coat of paint.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, when Woody brushes his hand over his foot.
Somebody touches his foot and it falls off.
When he removes the paint that's covering up the word handy with just a couple of squiggles of his little plastic fist.
Mm-hmm.
I admit a total nitpick. But was the painting job that good, and did he get robbed by it done?
I think the old chess player needs to be fired. They need a better painter.
Need a better painter. Perhaps a younger one.
Yeah. Yeah. One with a little less of a
firm.
Shake.
Yeah.
Because arthritis got the best of him.
He couldn't put it on thick enough. That's nice.
It's using your toys against you.
This is something that we've hit in this review and the previous review, and you're totally right. It's something that you brought up in the initial Toy Story review that we did that I don't know that I really grasped all of that, because I remember having many of these toys,
right.
But I didn't have all of them by stretch. An example is I never had a cowboy doll ever.
Oh, I didn't either. But it's not that it's using your specific, like you had a Woody toy, I mm-hmm. had a Buzz toy. It's not that it's using that, but it's using your own childhood memories.
Right.
And now, see, how positive and nice and fluffy they were.
If they'd had G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu Grip.
All in.
And then all the nemesises that you could buy. Now we're talking some kind of whoop ass.
That's right. If they had He-Man in here.
He-Man?
I guess they had the little ant one in the third one, which was a quasi-human.
A quasi is well said. Is well said.
Probably a reach. But yeah, they did. They took all of your childhood memories about playing with toys and how happy everything was shiny and cute and, you know, a layer of sunshine and rainbows on top of everything. Ponies and ponies.
Smells like strawberries.
Yeah. But they spun that around and smacked you in the face with it when they wanted to, you know? So a little bit of a cheap move rather than building on characterization and these kinds of things.
And what I really take from that is you're absolutely right. It's something I never thought of when we first started this review series, but it's undeniable. It's all there. Are they actually using your toys against you? So is it still a kid's movie at this point?
That's a good question. I don't know that it is, but it isn't. It's both, right? Because it's marketed for kids.
Here's the sample. I'm a bubbling pile of man flesh crying.
That's true.
Right?
Worked on you, didn't it?
Okay. Right, absolutely. But my daughter is busy singing the Sarah McLachlan song.
That's a good point. And like in the third one, same thing happened to me. I saw it with my daughter. I'm a big wet mop, and she's like, "What is wrong with you? Watch the movie."
So it works on two levels, right? It's like I relived it. It's like, oh, this is such a great movie, honey. Daddy, why are you crying?
Brutal. Gives me the chills.
Only Woody would go to Japan, wouldn't he? Obviously, that joke doesn't play nearly as well.
I see what you did
when
there.
When it's written.
With the would he and the e.
When the joke is written.
There you go.
In any case, the gist here is you get to the end of the movie, or towards the end of the movie, and instead of going back with his friends back to the land of Andy, where he's only known bliss for X amount of years inside of endless adventures with his friends.
Right, where he's the king.
Where he is the king of the bed. He decides to go to Japan and be in a museum.
Yeah, in a case for the rest of his life with three toys that he just met. Doesn't seem like a great life decision to me.
And a dude named Stinky Pete.
Yeah. He goes to Japan with a girl he just met, a dirty horse, and a Stinky Pete. I don't know if that's the right choice, Woody.
And so that was one of the very few negatives that I think actually has some teeth inside mm-hmm. inside of this film.
Yeah.
Would he have thrown it all away? And the answer is, of course not.
Yeah, he would. Well, he'd go back immediately. And the fact that he just kind of flippant made that decision, you know, he's at one foot out the door and he just decides, all right, screw him, I'll stay. Little bit of a fallacy there.
It is the one.
And we had to look for that.
We had to
research and find the one man in America that hated Toy Story, pull him out of his, protective custody and witness protection program.
and pull that out of his mouth,
right?
Because it was tucked behind a molar someplace.
Right.
But it's true. It literally has some teeth, and I totally see that viewpoint. Woody would not have given up everything to go to Japan to live in a glass box. I don't see that.
Nope.
Although it would have made for another great sequel.
That's true.
Woody in Japan, and when... You know what would be even a better idea? Okay, so he's going to be in a museum, right? What if they made a movie where, okay, the night watchmen all disappear for the evening and the lights
and
go
then
out,
all the and then they toys all toys and everything
come
out
alive
of the
inside the museum? Oh.
Oh.
Well, no, never mind.
Did they? Oh, they did.
They did. Sorry. Barbie's financial run. Yeah. Oh, this is great. Again, Brad, the research hero, while researching, dabbled upon this little gem.
So it was, what was her name? Jessica?
Alba.
Jessica Alba. No, it wasn't Alba. It's a different chat. Way better, Jessica.
Way better.
For the record. I'm sure we'll find her name here in a minute. But Jodie Benson. Who,
the
of course,
official.
Is Jodie Benson. She's the official Mattel Barbie voice. She does the voice on DVDs and computer games and all the different marketing collateral that Mattel puts out for Barbie. And she was also the voice of Ariel, the Little Mermaid,
right,
in the original Disney movie.
As well as all the follow-up ones I just checked.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
All the follow-up?
So,
okay.
The Little Mermaid 30 years later after Grey Fins. Yes. That's her.
Right, yeah. Little Mermaid's granddaughter. So Jodie's doing okay. So Jodie was in here as the tour guide Barbie.
Right.
And the interesting tidbit that we pulled up outside of that was that Mattel did not want Barbie in the first movie.
Right.
Until they found out how much money it made. And now they're like, sure, take her. Let her drive a car. She'll be a tour guide. And then, of course, in the third movie, it's Barbie and Ken and the dream house and the car and the dog and the cat and their 50 outfits that I'm sure they sold like hotcakes in the stores afterwards. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, in fact, they even go back and talk about the ones that were sold way back when that are now, you know, gargantuan toy collector
items. Well, the Ken was designed after whatever G-Funk 70s Ken.
Right.
But I mean, it was a real Ken that's, I'm sure, now a huge collectible.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Sure.
Right. And I'm sure there's re-releases and all those things.
Yeah. Again, I almost have trouble putting this in as a negative.
Yeah.
The company wanting to always make money on things.
Yeah.
I have a hard time begrudging that.
Poo-poo them for getting on the money train, right?
Right.
They should do it for free.
Double dipping, the land of 3D. Now, I had meant to go and see both Toy Story and the original Toy Story and Toy Story 2 in 3D when they came out. Mostly because I don't have the giant negative charge that I think many people have in regard to 3D technology. I'm pretty okay with it. I don't have an issue with it.
I'm okay.
And I would have liked to have seen both of those in 3D.
Well, for CG or for like the animated CG stuff.
Yeah.
When they do that in 3D, I've been fairly impressed with that. The live action stuff's another story that we could get into later. But
yeah,
I'm with you on the cartoon side of the boat. They did kind of the thing that everybody else does, and they re-release it in 3D, and then they re-release it as a wasn't it a back-to-back set then?
We actually had it as a different bullet point, but let's roll it in here. The DVD sets, the multiple DVD sets, then the Blu-ray sets, then the multiple Blu-ray sets.
Yeah.
Then the anniversary editions.
Yeah.
And the stack keeps on piling. And that's where I go evil. That,
right.
The Barbie thing, they realized it was a potential money grab, money-making situation. Fine. But that they have to somehow roll that into all of these extra series of DVDs and Blu-rays and the special packs and the toy box pack.
Put all the content on the first delay. I mean, and I'm totally okay with the basic movie DVD and then the super duper duper edition with all the outtakes and, you know, quote unquote deleted scenes that they fabricated for and the commentary, all that. But do two. Do the big one and do the cheap one. Don't do 12.
Well, and they do. And not only do they do that, they come back and they revisit it.
They do,
because here's what's going to happen. We're going to get to Christmas time because it's going to be 6 months after the feature film of Toy Story 3 came out.
Right.
And we're going to have first the absolute super cool edition of Toy Story 3 on DVD,
right,
on DVD with a Blu-ray, on only Blu-ray with some extra features.
Yeah. And now only Blu-ray with the extra features and one more.
Right.
Right.
And then the digital presentation that you can download to your laptop, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then right at Christmas, you're going to get where you can get 1, 2, and 3 all in the DVD pack.
Exactly.
You can get 1, 2, and 3 in the Blu-ray pack.
And then you're going to get the extra features,
right.
And then you're going to get the...
And then after the new year, they'll have the everything-in-one-box edition.
Yeah. And I mean, I
that's
hate to,
where it gets old.
I hate to rail on them because it is. I mean, that's marketing 101, right? It's not evil as long as somebody wants it. If somebody wants to buy it, it's okay for you to sell it.
Yeah.
And there's people that are hardcore about this movie, and their purchase point is at different times, so they'll buy it. They'll buy what's available and what's the newest, coolest one available.
Right. This one's got something behind it, though, that a lot of people don't understand. Daddy, I want Toy Story 3.
Oh, yeah.
Well, honey, if you just wait 4.5 months, see, they're going to release another one that takes all the features of this one, but I want my Toy Story 3. Done.
Yeah. I don't think my daughter cares if there's a deluxe edition coming out in 3 months.
Right.
Nope, she wants it now.
And it can't just mean that, well, we don't go into stores for a series of 5.5 months.
I've tried. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
They actually won't let you
do
it.
The commercials. Get yours now.
Yeah.
And then see, it's interlaid into every single other movie or DVD rental.
Yeah.
Buy Toy Story 3 now.
Yeah.
Well, tell mommy and daddy, buy Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Send $1 to Two Guys Talking right now.
Yeah.
All of those things are included.
All those subliminal messages. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's part of the culture. So, I mean, you know, we can't really rag on Pixar. It's part of the consumer culture.
True. But, true. It's totally true.
Actually, we can rag on Pixar for it, but it's not really their fault.
Yeah. Well, Pixar definitely has a piece of the guilt as well.
Right.
Their short story discs are the stuff of legend in regard to going back for money grab.
Oh, really?
Half the stuff. We just talked about this. The first one was made in 1986. 1986, and they sold it 2 years ago as new. Inside of the cornucopia,
have they
you could
had
buy the
multiple short story discs? Released? No,
just the one, just the red one so far. But it's common. I mean,
you can't
possibly not expect it.
No,
I do like the short movies being in their own compilation because you get to just go watch them instead of taking out multiple discs and having to watch.
Right, if you want to watch them back to back, you can do that.
Right.
But I agree. I think that's more for a collector and a money grab thing. You know, because honestly. I would venture to say that a lot of people that buy Toy Story also have bought Toy Story 2 and Finding Nemo and Monsters, Inc. and the other Pixar movies.
Yes, that's fair.
So
that's
they
fair.
Probably already own all of those things that they bought in the one package.
Oh, that's fair.
But you know what? People pay for convenience, right?
And so we come to the part of the Two Guys Talking Toy Story 2 perspective review where we rate this film... Toy Story 2, 1999, again directed by John Lasseter. Brad, where are you on this film?
So the first one I gave a 10 out of 10 when I saw it at the time.
Yeah.
A 9 out of 10 now in context with the other movies.
Where we're going.
We're going with this series.
Yep.
I didn't personally connect with the whole Sarah McLachlan, Jesse kind of sappy pull-in like that as much as a lot of people did, including our blubber of manflesh host here. I didn't quite connect with that as much as a lot of people did. That felt a little bit too much pushing me down the path.
Okay, all right.
But I loved the movie. I thought it was really good.
What you're saying is you hate Toy Story 2.
I thought it was a horrible movie and you should all send me anthrax in the mail. No, not at all. I think it was a fantastic movie, but I know what's coming next and I need some breathing room for that. I think I'm going to go with a 9 out of 10.
I'll buy breathing room and this is an outstanding film for me. Again, the roller coaster ride here is what I think got me on this film. All of the perspective from Jesse's vein. Obviously, I'm not a girl. I'm not a girl toy.
Hey, it worked.
But all of that change that I anticipate seeing as a father, all of that just destroyed me completely. Yeah. And I have to give this one a 10.
Oh, you're going 10? Really,
I got to go 10.
Whoa.
I got to go 10 on Toy Story 2.
Wow, bring out the trumpets.
This is an outstanding offering. It definitely is better than the first one. It provides the collector's clutch about toy collecting. Again, the heart-wrenching Sarah McLachlan stuff. A cast that returns but is peppered with even more star power. That I really think Joan Cusack is one of the most underrated actresses we have. The being able to pull off a yodeling cowgirl and go,
she's
the yodeling cowgirl.
Just a horribly over-the-top accent thing going, you know, like...
It's amazing.
But that's part of the character. Yeah, she did great with it.
And that it's not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you walk up to an actor and go, tell you what, you're going to be the yodeling cowgirl.
Yeah.
And let's see the actor that goes, okay.
Yeah. Zing.
And
but of course, if you tell them they're the yodeling cowgirl in Toy Story, I think your answer changes.
Well said. So in any case, I give Toy Story 2 a 10. It is a stellar piece of filmmaking. The story was just rapture in general for me. I love the innocence lost, the needing to make so many incredibly important choices, both from the perspective of people, but also from the perspective of what is to come. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that that's brilliant stuff. And so I give it a 10. And so this is where we ask you, what did you think of this feature film, Toy Story 2, 1999, directed by John Lasseter from Pixar? Make sure you access our website at twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2guystalking.com. Again, click that contact button on the top right-hand side of the page. Fill out the quick web form and let us know what you thought of Toy Story 2. Remember to also buy the soundtrack from Two Guys Talking as well. We get a little kickback from Amazon on that. And again, you can find all the links to do that at our archive at twoguystalking.com. Brad, thank you once again for coming in for another excellent Toy Story review.
I'm happy to talk about Toy Story.
I totally look forward to the third one. And
yes,
we hope that all of you will come back for the third one as well.
That's the big one.
Again, I'm Mike Wilkerson, one of your hosts.
Brad Hogemiller, your other host.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Two Guys Talking Show. We hope you'll tell your friends and coworkers about us, and don't forget to put us on your podcast list. As always, you can visit and contact us online at twoguystalking.com. That's the number 2guystalking.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.